Tonight I want to talk to you about the gift of love. I seem to be stuck in that place, but I can't help it. That's where the Lord's heart is, for you to know His love and know you're loved, and what part you play in being the expression of His love. If you grab your sheets there, number one says that the depth of God's love is expressed through His Son Jesus. The Jews were so focused on the law that they forgot about loving God. They did. They walked focused on the law and walking it out to the letter, and it became their God almost. You know, they walked with just that focused attention on the law rather than their Lord. The birth of Christ was intended to redeem our worldview. The Father wanted to bring back their focus. We needed Jesus to bring us back into focus to who God really is and His heart for us, and to remind us that it's about love and fellowship and walking in relationship with Father and with Jesus, rather than focusing on religion, focusing on law. That cannot redeem us, because we cannot walk it out perfectly without doing that. We get so wrapped up in it that, you know, and that's what the spirit of religion wants to do to us. And so the Lord, God had a Father had a better plan, and He wanted to bring Jesus into our reality. He wanted our reality to walk and embrace and know the love of the Father. There was no other way to do that but to have love come down. Isn't that awesome? Have love come down and touch you, walk with you, embrace you, to encourage you, walk alongside of you, and comfort you, to heal you, to restore you, to redeem you. I mean, there is nothing, there's no greater thing than love, and there's nothing that it can't do. Love wins. Love rejoices with you when you're happy. God weeps with you when you're sad, because He's compassionate. He's relational. He can't not be, because He is. And He created you to walk in that relationship with Him. He didn't create us to be focused over here on a law that was meant to show us that we can't do it on our own. And sure enough, we can't. And so the Lord just, you know, Papa had that plan all along, you know, that He wanted to let love come down and show us what it's really about. We need to meditate on that, you know, to what really happened, that what we celebrate is Christ's birth, was love came down and lived with us, embraced us in our humanity. God Almighty became human, fully God and fully human, and embraced He walked with us. That blows me away. We needed to shift our understanding from law-based works and judgment, embracing love and forgiveness. We needed that modeled for us. All throughout the Old Testament, the Lord tried to model that in, you know, Song of Solomon, in different ways. He tried to. David got it. You know, there are certain people that got it. But most of them, and we would have been part of that group that got caught in everything. But, you know, it's hard to believe. It's hard to not get distracted. It's hard to not get caught up in your everyday life and your struggles. It's hard not to get focused on the wrong thing and to stay focused on love, especially when we've been wounded from, like, you know, a lot of us have had hard childhoods or hard marriages or hard teenage years or whatever it is. You know, the enemy's going to try and get in there and cause you to look at love with a distorted view. and not know what it feels like, not know how to receive it, not know how to recognize it, not know how to embrace it. He wants you to be, just for example, take what happened, just happened in Connecticut, tragedy of the worst kind, innocent children. What do we do with that? Where's God in that? You know where he is? He's right there weeping and embracing and comforting. He's right there. We need to be able to justify. We need to be able to stand in the knowledge of the love of God to the degree that we can justify him in that place. He's not the bad guy. He's not the one that caused that. He's the one there comforting, redeeming, and restoring, wanting to embrace the pain that people are feeling. He's, you know, he's wanting to, and you know that, just that, that instance is a good example of that man had planned to kill far more people than he was able to. And it's just like, you know, he wasn't able to carry out his full plan. I think, you know, to me, that's the intervention of God there. You know, he lets us have our awful free will because he gave that agreement to us that we choose to love him. It's not love if you don't have a choice. So we also have the choice to do evil. And when people choose that, the Lord's right there to come and redeem that and say, you know what, I love you here. Can you accept it? Can you embrace me and not blame me? The enemy would like to take that incident and cause offense towards the Lord, cause fear towards man. So there's two things going on there that the enemy would like to do. He'd like to cause us to fear, which just excites the enemy, and he'd like us to be offended towards God. And Jesus says, "Blessed is he who's not offended in me." So we need to understand the Lord's heart in those hard places. We need to be able to stand up and say he's good even here. When I think about that, the biggest ache in my heart, I ache for the parents. I would, you know, I'd hate to be in that situation, but I also know where those children are. But I also, my heart also, like, God, please let no offense happen towards you. Because those are adults that could turn away from the Lord. I mean, he could lose. I mean, that causes, offense is a hard thing to get over on your own. And so you know, pray for those adults, pray for the parents and the other people, the community, that they don't get offended towards the Lord. Because, He's not the bad guy. In John 3:16, this love that came and touched earth, it says, God, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. The gift of Jesus brought us into a The gift of Jesus brought us into a conscious, ever-increasing revelation of God's amazing capacity for love. We must come into a place of knowing and believing God's love for us. You have to know it. Whatever else you do, my words are so getting mixed up tonight. Talking backwards. Whatever in this life that you accomplish with your relationship with the Lord, you must come into a place of knowing his love for you. It's vital, because that's who God is. You have to know it, and that's hard when you've never known it in your earthly relationships, especially with your earthly father. If you've had issues with your earthly father in being able to express love, you're going to relate that to God the Father. Not always, but a lot of times that's the way it goes. So if your father had trouble relating to you on that area of expressing love, then you're going to have trouble understanding and feeling and being able to receive God's love. That part of your heart, I would encourage you to take before the Lord. You know, find out what you're feeling about love. you're having trouble, like, what do you believe about it? I had a real, my father, I wasn't beaten or, you know, I didn't have a horrible childhood, but my father was withdrawn and did not express. He was not able to express physical affection or express words of love or affirmation, those kinds of things. And so I lived in this area of not knowing how to relate to Father God. Then it was real hard for me to feel or express love and to even know what it would feel like. And so I started exploring my heart and what do I believe about love? How does you know, what's my idea of it? How do I think it feels? What would keep me from receiving love? You know, if you've had an abusive father, that kind of love to you can feel like, that's bad, I don't want love, you know, because love hurts. Because you translate that pain as love. And so the enemy does everything he can to destroy the truth of love, the truth of who Jesus is. The enemy wants to destroy that. He wants to twist it so that you think that love is something other than what it really is. So I would encourage you to really get in your heart and open that up and see what love is, and how you feel about love. Do you feel it's bad, or do you feel it's for everybody but you? That was mine. Everybody but me. Or, you know, whatever it is, take that before the Lord when you find it and let him speak truth into you. You need that truth spoken because that, his words are love. So when he speaks his word into you, it's living, it restores, and it brings healing. So his very word spoken into you will bring healing to that place in your heart. So spend the time. It's worth it. 1 John 4:16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We talked last time about being one with God and how amazing that is, that we are one with him and that he loves us the same as he loves his son Jesus. That same love, that intensity of love is for us. We need to embrace that. So one of the ways that he's saying here for us is to abide in it. You need to pitch your tent under the wing of God and abide there. Psalm 91 says, he who abides in the shelter of the Almighty. You know, there's an abiding that needs to happen. So we need to stay. We need to make that our abode. You need to stay there. It's not just for Sunday or Tuesday. Need to stay there in all that you do every day. You need to have time spent so that you get to the place where your every waking moment is in the presence of God, that you're constantly walking with that awareness that you are one with him. It's an amazing place, and it's for you. He wants that for each one of you. Each one of you were created for that. Each one of you were created to walk with him in that place of deep intimacy and the knowledge that most holy God, that you are one with him and he's intimate with you and he wants to walk out your daily life, every task with you. Number three there, we are faced with the task of embracing the reality of the love that Papa has for us. In an ever-increasingly dark world, too often we have trouble feeling loved by God. We have head knowledge, but have trouble feeling it. As we abide in him, we are brought into an amazing relationship with love. We need to rid ourselves of lie-based thinking that keeps us locked in negative thinking. Lie-based thinking, that's what it is. If it's contrary to scripture, if it's contrary to what you know to be true, what you've been taught through the scriptures, that's your standard, that's your plumb line is the scriptures. If what you believe about Jesus and Father doesn't line up with that, if your emotions aren't lining up with that, then you have lie-based thinking. When it says that God is love, do you believe that? Do you believe it? Can you embrace that? Does it, do you feel it? Can you walk in that? It's awesome. But if you can't, it's for you. That's your gift he has for you. You need to walk in the gift to reap the benefits. You can't enjoy a gift if it's not opened. You got to open it up. Let him in. In 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Power, love, and a sound mind. So that woundedness doesn't belong there. That's not who God says you are. He wants to heal that so that you come into alignment with who you were created to be. You weren't created wounded. When he put that seed, when he spoke life into your spirit, into the seed that was created between your parents, it was perfect. But then, from that point on, we live in a fallen world. And so what we're doing with getting rid of lie-based thinking, we're coming back home, so to speak. We're opening up the box and letting light in, and that light restores us into right thinking, right relationship, and right unity with the Lord and who you're originally created to be, who God says you are. He had a plan and a purpose for each one of you. You know, he created each one of you as special, unique, and he's got a job just for you, and you're the only one that can do it. It's like each one of you, he has eyes just for you. I really have gotten a vision of that. The Lord, I was with him, and I saw, there was a lot of other people around, but he had eyes just for me. And I knew, I had the understanding that everyone that was there felt the same, that he was looking just at them. He's just like that. He's God, you know. He's so not limited. Our eyes see one person I can see a group of people, but I can't focus on all of you at the same time. I have to focus and look at one at a time. God has this amazing ability. And so if you let yourself get in there, you're going to be washed in that place of, he's going to like start speaking into you about who you are and who he says you are. You need to let him do that. Listen to him often. Invite him. God, who do you say I am? What's your plan? What do you have planned for me and you? You know, he's not going to lay out your whole future for you, because he wants you to walk it out in faith and partnership with him. But he will share his heart with you on who he says you are, who you're called to be, and he'll partner with you in walking that out, because he loves the relationship. He loves the walk. You know, we're not in the garden anymore, but we're in the garden. His heart is a garden, you know, and you stay abiding there, and you're still walking in the garden, eating the tree of life. It is banqueting table, you know. He's got life for you. You need to eat it. Number 4. It's easy to become overwhelmed and wonder where justice and love have gone when there are so many injustices happening around us. A few days ago, I heard the Lord say, "Saturate your mind with truth." When we have injustices coming at us, and it's only going to get more, we already know that. The Word tells us that in the end times, it's going to be more. So what happened in Connecticut and what's happening in China with the schools there and other places, and in Syria and all those places, that's just a birth pang of what's coming. So in that place, we need to be able to stand on truth. And how are we going to do that? You're not going to get your oil at the last minute. The shops are going to be closed. So you need to be getting it now. You need to be spending time with the Lord and buying oil. You need to be in that place where you're saturating your mind with truth. It's when we know truth, when we know it and we get it here, not just here, but when we get it here, that's saturation. and there, then the enemy's not going to easily deceive you, no matter what it looks like in the natural. It's not going to happen. He won't have that that ability to get in there and twist truth, because you know what's true. So it's up to us to saturate our mind. That's your protection. That's living in Ephesians 6. When it talks about the armor. The armor is not something you can just pray on yourself. It's something you live. It's something you embrace. It becomes a part of you. It's not something you just put on. It's something you wear. It's different. So embrace it. Embrace the word. And practice hearing the Lord. Spend a lot of time listening. In Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Lord wants you to saturate your mind with good things, not horror movies, not pornography, not witless TV programs. There are some good ones, but there's a lot of ones out there that are seriously an insult to your mind. Don't insult your mind. You have the mind of Christ. Use it to its full advantage. Take advantage of it. Feed it. Because if you don't feed your mind, it's going to become lethargic. You know, it's going to become lazy. You're going to quickly and easily go into deception. So you need to feed your mind with truth. We need to exercise getting into the depths. God has so much to share with you. Revelation. Press him for revelation. Truth is deep, man. You can memorize this whole word, but unless you get the revelation of it, I mean, I open the scripture and I have the worst time putting together something to teach, because it's like every scripture I go to is so full that I can't focus on it. It's like I could go here and I could go there and I could, and my mind gets overwhelmed with the revelation and the food that's in there. And I get like, I don't know how to put this together. But I love it. And I know the Lord's going to, work me into a better place. But right now, it's like, I'm like, God, please do something with this, because I love it, but I have to teach tonight, you know? And so I get overwhelmed with the revelation. He has that for you, you know, and I don't have it all. I think throughout eternity, we're going to get revelation about God. He is never going to outgive us, because he's always going to have something to give. He's deep. So press into his depths, because he will far exceed your expectations. We limit him, and he is limitless. We have boxes around him, and he has no walls. Nothing is impossible with God, and therefore we are limitless. And I mean, we have great things ahead that we can walk in if we believe. You know, he said all things are possible to him who believes. So that's why mind renewal is so important. We need to renew our minds so that we believe it, rather than just saying, I believe it. Well, we, to the best of our knowledge, we believe it. But there's depths of belief. There's depths of it. You need to know who you are. Do you believe? If you have the gift of intercession, do you believe it? Do you walk in confidence that I am an intercessor and I affect the atmosphere? That I can pray God's heart and things are going to shift. I can. Do you walk in the power of your gift? You need to walk in the knowledge of the Most Holy and who He says you are. The more you embrace who you are, the more powerful your gift is going to be. Make sure you have a right motive, though. We walk in relationship with God because we love Him. That's first, love. If you're walking in relationship just to gain gifting or anointing, then you're a little off balance and you need to check yourself. But that's the result of this amazing gift of love that we have. The more you press into the depths of it, the more who he is explodes out of you. Can't help it because you can't contain him. You just get more and more of him, but you can't contain him. If you're full of him, you're going to slosh. You're going to splash on people. And you need to, because that's what it's for. Every gift that God has given you is for the blessing of another. It's not for you. Somebody else is going to bless you. But the gifts that you have are to bless another. Number 5 there says the enemy would love to distract us, and he does a pretty good job of it. He knows our insecurities and plays on our emotions. If we buy into his lies, we will have trouble seeing good when things grow dark. We can and must saturate ourselves with the word and spend time abiding in the love of God. John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. If you're a Christian, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you and abides in you. You know him. You need to know him. It's the same as believing. There's depths of knowing. Know him. He's your friend. He wants to be your friend. He says, know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. What an amazing gift. What an amazing gift. You're never alone. Wherever you go, there God is. You need to know it. You need to act like you know it. You need to practice. I know, you know, practice thinking about it. Thinking of his presence within you. Wherever he goes, wherever I go, there he is. You're a walking manifestation of the love of God. You need to manifest his love. Can't fake it. It needs to be part of who you are. That's what you're called to do. I want to skip down here because there's a part the Lord revealed to me or reminded me of. I guess I got revelation into it while we were worshiping, and I want to share that with you. Number 7 there, 1 John 4:17 says, By this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. That's who you're created to be, to walk like Jesus and be like Jesus in this world, to be an expression of his love, his goodness, his kindness, his mercy, to bless, to restore, to heal. 1 Corinthians 13 will tell you what love looks like. You need to study it, look at it. Matthew 10 says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely you give. That's just what Jesus did while he was here. He healed every single person that came to him. I wanted to read to you. Could you put up Matthew on the overhead? While I was, while we were worshiping, I got this scripture here. It's Matthew 14:15, and it says, while it was evening, the disciples came to him. This place is desolate, and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. It's just what I read to you here. He says, now go out and cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the demons. You know, he said, you give them something to eat. They said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food. And breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 basketfuls, and there were about 5,000 men besides women and children. every one of us tend to, most of us, I should say, I'm not going to make a blanket statement. Can the worship team come on up? We tend to think in lack, and we tend to think that what I can do for the kingdom is small. We tend to think that we're, our little prayers, oh my word, I used to not even be able to pray in front of my husband. I couldn't ask a question in Sunday school. I think I've shared with that with you before. I was so, like, my heart would pound. My lips would start quivering. I would get faint. I was like, caused me to have just a nervous breakdown nearly. But to pray was even worse. I would just die if somebody would ask me to pray. I couldn't. I just couldn't even do it. And so we tend to think in lack because I thought my prayers were small. My words were simple. That's one of the troubles I've had when I first started teaching is that I teach simply. I don't sound like Bill Johnson. And so my words are simple. I have a simple way of expressing things, and that felt like not enough. And so when you think of giving out to others, you may not have a lot of money. And you think that everything needs to be done. I need to buy things for people in order to bless them. I need to give to the poor. Or so I don't have money, so therefore I have nothing to give. Or when I bless people, I don't really think that they're really getting blessed. You know, if I smile at them, that doesn't seem enough. Or if I, you know, we're always excusing what we think is not enough. And we're always thinking in lack. But this scripture right here, it's not about, I mean, you know what the miracle is? Is that Jesus takes our little and multiplies it. It's not about the loaves and fishes. It's about he takes our little bit, our kind words, our little pats, our hugs, our expressions of love, the little good thing, the things that we do for each other, the just in passing, just hugs or just picking up trash for somebody or whatever it is, and he multiplies it. In heaven, those things don't go unnoticed in heaven. Those small things are huge because you're doing exactly what we are called to do, to be an expression of love. Don't think that your thing is small, whatever it is. If you're an intercessor and you don't, your like prayers are like simple compared to the person next to you, then you're looking the wrong thing. You're comparing, and the Lord's saying, you know what? I want to hear your prayers because I created you unique, and I want to hear your prayer. I want to have you be an expression of who I am through you, not them. I am an expression of who I am through them. And they know it. That's why they're praying with confidence. I want you to pray, step over here and be who I am through you and pray with confidence, even if it's simple. So he says to Londa, I want you to stand up there and teach and use your simple words because I'm going to multiply it. Same with each one of you. Whatever you do, whatever you have to give to somebody else to bless, God's going to multiply. So I want you all to stand. I'm just going to invite you to come up. If you don't know how to feel love, if you've never felt the Father's love, if you think in lack, if you struggle with significance, if you're thinking I'm not significant, I feel that one. There's someone here who doesn't think they're significant, that they're unimportant, not valuable. I want you to come up, start coming up. I also feel that I just feel on the, there's a hip, somebody here with hip pain. Invite you to start coming. You guys can start, and I'll just talk over you. Father, I just open this time up, God. We invite you here, Holy Spirit. We thank you. Thank you that you are Almighty God and that you've given us an amazing gift of love. Help us to know it. God. God, we want to feel your love tonight in a tangible way. Because you are a tangible God. You want to touch and love on people tonight. I feel like somebody has a pain in their ear, one of their ears. I just want you to come forward. For whatever reason, you don't have to wait for me to call it out. I want you to just start coming forward. I invite the healing team to come up and just start praying for people. I heard the word bipolar. You know, some of these things feel hopeless, and you've been prayed for many times, repeated many times. But don't lose hope in that. Every time somebody prays for you, you're just that much closer. If you don't get instant healing, ask the Lord to grow your excitement for it and your faith for it. Because it's not because you've done anything wrong. You're good. I feel like there's someone here who feels like they're a failure. I'd like you to come forward. Of any physical issue, any physical things that you're dealing with, I just invite you to come forward. Any emotional, spiritual, God has healing. There's healing in the house tonight. Just come forward. And those of you that feel like you need to go on, you know, I just excuse you. But if you want to stay and just soak in the worship and feel the presence of the Lord. I feel like there's a couple of you that need breakthrough. That you've been pressing in a long time for something that you haven't seen come to pass. And so I just invite you to come forward. Breakthrough. Also hear the word fear. But I feel like it's a kind of fear where you're afraid that God isn't gonna, he's gonna fail you, or he's not gonna be there for you because you've been hurt many times over in that area, that I don't know, your earthly father or somebody's made a lot of promises to you and they didn't follow through. And so there's this fear that it's gonna happen again. Lord wants to speak to that. If at any time you just want to come forward, I just invite you.